the Bills in the 2020 as KJ proceeds to give you what you need. Let's get it. Every block. Got no time for fake news, bruh, that's gotta stop. Here to feed you flavor with knowledge for your mental block. Let's get it.
All right, Village, you just saw Eve Marie's puckered up lips. Welcome to the Village.
Thank you so much.
Village.
You're in trouble.
All right, Village.
Warn me.
Same. I said nothing.
He didn't warn me of nothing about nothing, Village. I'm over here complaining about my complexion being pale, and he's over here, oh, let me just podcast this.
That's right. All right. So anyways, Village, we are live. So we got a pretty quick show that we're going to be serving up, if you will. I'm not even sure if Facebook Live is working right now. Like, I don't even know. Like, I go through this every week, and every week I think that I've nailed it and got it all down and all this other stuff. Then all of a sudden, it's like, yeah, you don't have it.
Maybe when I finally get to come for a visit, you can the technical side of things, and I can set it up for you.
Yeah,
that might be our gig.
I don't even know what the hell I'm doing. So you may want to be the one to just look it all up, because this is crazy. I thought I had set it up correctly. Apparently, I did not. So, anyways, Village, here we are. We are live, and like I said, Facebook Live is not cooperating. So it is what it is. Let's get into this first topic, Eva Marie. Let's jump into this. Okay, so we've all seen the video of Ahmaud Arbery and the murder, the hunting, whatever you want to call it. So the men, that word, I don't give killers pub on this show, but the two killers that participated in this atrocity here have been formally charged and are currently in jail and waiting trial. Now, this is my issue with all this. There were so many people that were excited. They were like, yeah, you know, they're going to go to jail. I'm thinking, no, we've all seen this before. Everyone gets charged. That's part of the process. Everybody gets charged, right? But here's the thing. A conviction and a charge, two separate things. And that's the thing that I need people to understand. A conviction and a charge, two separate things. So when you heard that these men were charged, what were your thoughts about this?
I think I was just waiting to see how far it goes. You know, too many times people do get charged with these crimes, but then they get off either with very incredibly light sentences, or they're just, you know, it's dismissed for whatever reason. So I think it with most things, just keep after it, keep watching to see what happens. I'm gonna relay my judgment for when we see the process go farther. I think there was a public outcry that no one had been charged in it, and they had to do something. But I don't think that we're at a juncture where it's a win.
Yeah.
By any means. We're not at a juncture where it's a win where it's a win by any means. So
no, it's not. I'm gonna say it. It wouldn't surprise me if they don't get convicted.
Yeah.
It wouldn't surprise me. I would be upset internally as a father and as a black man, but I also have another side of me that says, kind of saw this coming.
Yeah, unfortunately, it's par for course, which is something that needs to get changed in the United States, everywhere. everywhere that crimes of hate are acted upon, you know, mm-hmm. anywhere this stuff is happening. Unfortunately, I think we're extremely pessimistic when it comes to justice in general.
Yeah.
You know, you see crimes of hate happen every day. People acquitted of molestation and rape and horrible, horrible things and murder and just some very, very horrible things all the time. So I think we're just as a people very pessimistic that, you know, when justice is served, we even kind of hold our collective breath when they do get charged, that they're going to finish off a full thing. It's a shame. Yeah, I'm just gonna wait too.
Yeah, that's all we can do is wait and see, because it's just an unfortunate event. You know, it's truly unfortunate. It's sad that grown men think that this is okay behavior. Like, you think that it's okay to go and hunt another man down because you thought something. Right?
Yeah.
Even with the video evidence of apparently he was inside of this construction site. They thought it was him, whatever the case may be, right? You still don't get to play judge, jury, and executioner.
You don't get to shoot someone because they were on a construction site.
Mm-hmm. That's it. You don't get to do that. You don't have that right. I'm sorry. You don't have the right to do that.
You're not even the owner of where the construction's being done. Like, a lot of these states have laws that if someone comes on your property, you can shoot to kill. If they're on your property and, you know, have whatever, it's, you know, considered whatever. But if it's not even your property, then, like, and he wasn't on it at the time you shot him. So that makes a huge difference as well.
Mm-hmm.
They have the law for protection. You know, someone's breaking your home, you fear your life, whatever. But, yeah. Not cold-blooded killing in the streets, people.
No,
this isn't World War Z. You know, no. this isn't the Hunger Games. You know, the odds are not in your favor. So there it is.
Yeah. So like I said, Village, we're gonna wait and see on this one. I am hoping for an outcome that literally shows that you're not above the law. That being black's not a crime.
Yes.
That's what I'm hoping for. Is it going to happen? We'll wait and see. That's what I'm hoping and praying for, because this is an atrocity. This is just downright sad.
It's horrible. It's like, absolutely horrible.
You can't jog. You can't jog while black. That's a new one. That's a new one that I'm seeing on social media. You can't jog while black. Mm-hmm. And for me personally, Village, on a side note, I walk my dog sometimes at night, because sometimes it's just easier with my schedule. And also during the day, it's kind of hot. So I wait until the sun goes down. I put my little I have a headlamp. I put that on my little reflective shirt and I take my dogs for a walk. Right. And I put my earbuds in and I'm talking or listening to music, whatever the case may be. But let's just say I'm out for a run with all this stuff on. Is somebody going to accuse me of something then? You know, it's ugly. You know, it's an ugly situation, guys. So let's all hope for the best, but be prepared for the usual. And I'll leave it at that, okay? All right, Eva Marie, let's move on here to this next topic. This is something that kind of caught me off guard. This summer, severe temperatures could make the pandemic even more complicated, right? Now, this is what has been said several times over as I'm trying to screen share with you guys here. This summer's temperatures could make the pandemic even more complicated. Now, here's the thing. We've been told several times over that the sun, the heat can kill the virus, right? So heat and humidity will send people outdoors where the risk of catching the coronavirus is higher. Let's read a little bit of this here. All right, we got some people playing, blah, blah, blah. While there is some preliminary evidence that sunlight, heat, and humidity could slow the spread of the COVID-19, the summer months also promise a host of new risks. The Washington Post report. Soaring temperatures will either compel people wanting relief to go outside where they could get infected, or the pandemic will force people to stay indoors where they could swelter. Both the pandemic and extreme heat pose a mortal risk to the elderly and the infirm. So it's not necessarily that the virus is not going to be killed or eradicated by the heat, humidity, and so forth. It's if people are living in fear, then they're going to stay indoors. So it's a double-edged sword, man. This is, it's a double-edged sword. That's crazy. Either you go outside and you possibly catch it, or you stay inside and you got to deal with the heat that way. You know?
Yeah.
What are your thoughts? Like, here's a question for you. Which direction are you leaning in regards to this?
I'm an essential worker. So I haven't been inside. It's not as though I'm tramping outside on a constant basis, but I am an essential worker. I'm considered an essential worker. I'm in restaurant management. I go into my place of work 5 days a week and deal with the vast majority of people. But I see their point. When I see some articles like this, I'm like, man, they're really digging for some news. But I can see why they're saying it. If it is a hot summer, people don't have air. The heat poses a risk to the heat and extreme cold pose a risk to the elderly and infirm, and that would happen every summer regardless. You know, that's something, you know, they literally set up cooling stations in St. Louis at churches and community buildings for people to go that don't have air during the hottest days of the year. I can see they can't do that this summer. So I can see how that's a concern and that's a problem. They don't know for sure whether the heat and humidity is going to kill this virus off. I've been saying for a couple of weeks now, this is an unfortunate thing where, unfortunately, we're going to lose more people and people are going to get sick.
Yeah.
It's unfortunate and it's horrible. And I'm hoping in the last 2 months, we've come together as a country and as a planet and done our very best to help those numbers not be higher than they need to be. Mm-hmm. However, the unfortunate part of this is, as a planet, as a nation, as a people, we haven't been the best to our planet. And so we do have, in this case, global warming. We've got exceptionally hot summers, and those hot summers are going to would have caused problems this summer anyway. Regardless, the virus just throws a bigger monkey wrench into the chaos that is what's going on in nature. That's what I look at it. It's we really don't know what the virus is going to do. People are going to want to get out. They're going to want to get some relief. So therefore, they're going to come and maybe come more contact. And then you've got the people that are still wearing respirators and full body suits that, answer their door via megaphone. You just never know. It's going to be an interesting summer. It's going to be hard. I think going forward for quite a while, it's going to be hard because I don't think that any of us really, really know which way to sway. We really do not know which way to sway. We have areas like the area I live in, this virus didn't, it hit us hard because every death is hard, but we had 2 deaths, 16 cases, confirmed cases, hospital cases where someone went to the hospital. So we didn't get hit hard here. But then you're looking at places like New York that could easily get a second, third, fourth wave of this because it's a dense population. So I think it's going to be a very hard, very complicated summer.
It is. Like you said, it's going to be complicated either way. And I'm at a loss of words because it's almost, and this is how I'm looking at it. It's a damned if you do, and it's a damned if you don't.
Yes.
That's basically what it kind of boils down to. You do it, you might catch it. You stay in the house, you're going to fucking burn up. Pick your poison.
And I don't know if there's any truth to it, but, I am part of the populace I serve in my industry is the trucking industry. Mm-hmm. And someone was saying that a bunch of new cases popped up in one of the hot spots, and the people that are being hospitalized are the people that stayed at home.
That's
the people
crazy.
That barely ever went out. And I'm thinking it was a hotspot. They may have been in apartment buildings. You know, what's happening when this is going through your ventilation system? It's an airborne disease.
Yes.
And if, you know, if it's getting caught up in ventilation systems in apartment buildings, then you've got yet another huge worry that we start to think, you know, is it best that we keep people stay at home, or is it best that they start getting out more and getting immune to it, or that, you know, the herd immunity idea?
That's what I was going to ask as well.
Do we
just get out? And here's the thing. With human evolution, right, we've had all these diseases and everything like that, but our bodies over time have built up immunities to a lot of these things, right?
Yeah.
We've built antibodies, we've built medications, things like that, right? The question is almost in a sense, is who wants to be the sacrificial lamb?
Well, and I think one thing that was said in the beginning, of the quarantine is not what's being said now. The beginning of the quarantine, they didn't promise us the virus would go away. What they said to us was, we want to quarantine, we want to stay at home, we want to stop the spread from being as dominating as it is. Because the problem with it being dominating was not that just people were going to die of the virus, people were going to die of everyday illness. Because we didn't have the beds in the population, we didn't have the protective equipment, we didn't have the ventilator. Now they've got the ventilators where they needed to be, but like in my state, they're starting to close down the overflow hospitals already.
Yeah.
But then they drop the stay at home orders. They start letting people out, letting the economy regain footing. You start getting people together. Why are we closing these hospitals so quickly? You've now gotten us to a place you're ready for a surge, you know, because the surge is going to happen. Mm-hmm. It may not be as high as they originally projected, but it's going to happen. People are still dying, and that's what most people are not. You either are gravitating towards this and you're grabbing a hold of it and you're taking it seriously, or you're going, it doesn't affect me in my community. Folks, people are still dying.
Yeah.
Large amounts of people in these hot spots are still dying. People are still getting sick. Some people are getting, you know, there's evidence that people can get this multiple times. People, it's still out there. It's not something, I don't want everyone to live in fear, because it's not a living organism. It's not. It's not out to get you. It's not hunting you down. But it's still out there. The threat is still real, you know? I don't think there's a reason to live in fear, but I think everybody just needs to use some common sense.
Yeah, common sense.
Okay. Keep using good practices. Wash your hands. Wipe down surfaces.
That's it. I do that every day. I do that every day.
I think there's a big difference between using some common sense, going out, I'm going to go spend a couple hours at the beach, and I'm going to spend 12. You know, I'm going to go grab some food somewhere and spend 4 hours sitting at this restaurant sipping cocktails. Or I'm going to go have a cocktail, say hi to my friends, and go home. You know, I think people just need to continue to use common sense and just, you know, be cautious with yourself and good personal hygiene. So,
yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
And check on your neighbors.
Check on the elderly. I was going to say that. Check on your elderly neighbors, man. Make sure they're okay. That's most important about
elderly, disabled. Mm-hmm. Heck. Parents with small children that are just overwhelmed. Like, social media has made it so easy to social distance, but we still need to check on each other. We still need to make sure everyone's okay, you know?
Mm-hmm. That's it. So as far as all this goes, my best thing to say, Village, is go through it yourself. Figure out what you think is best for you and your family, your loved ones, and go from there. If it's best for you to stay inside an air-conditioned place, then do that. If you think getting out every now and again is okay, do that. If you want to do like a hybrid of the two, do that. But figure out what is good for you. That is what I encourage each and every last one of you guys to do. All right? All right, Eva Marie, let's move on here to this next one. Next topic here. And this is one that I particularly got in regards to what you've been dealing with. Let's go ahead and bring this up. And let me see here. We're going to screen share with you guys. And I'm going to screen share. Okay. So government loans meant to bail out small businesses could become a financial burden themselves. That scares me for you, because you discussed that your job has received one of these loans. And
so we could stay open.
Yes, yeah, so you guys could stay open, right? This is serious.
Yeah.
This is very serious. Like, could you imagine these companies that were like, hey, you know, we need this just to stay open, to pay our workers, right? We keep your, forgive me, Village, you're an essential worker, right? You need to be able to do your job because you keep America going. You're in a middle earth scenario where people have to pass through.
That's dirty for that.
Yeah, yes, I am. but people have to pass through your town in order to receive, whether it's gas, it's services, whatever. So in a sense, you keep America going. Now, these little towns, right, could suffer the most. But let's read a little bit of this here. A new report from the Inspector General for the Small Business Administration finds that forgivable loans from the government intended to help small businesses weather the current economic fallout could ultimately leave many weighed down by debt. The report released Friday concluded that rules created by the SBA, which dictate how forgivable loans offered by the Paycheck Protection Program can be spent, run counter to how Congress intended the program to be administered and could be limiting the loan's utility. The PPP, a new effort established in the CARES Act, provides forgivable loans up to $10 million to small businesses and nonprofits trying to navigate the economic uncertainty that's emerged during the coronavirus pandemic. Congress allocated $349 billion to the program in the original stimulus package, and lawmakers then added another $310 billion in late April. Thus far, 4.1 million PPP loans have been approved. The app put the SBA in charge of implementing the program, and agency created some pretty strict rules governing how PPP loans can be spent. A hefty proportion of them, 75%, must be used to cover payroll costs, not other expenses like rent, in order for loans to be fully forgiven. Now, that's where the kicker is for a lot of people.
Yeah. They're
paying the rent for the building that they're in. That's going to screw a lot of people over.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. I thought
75% of that loan is for payroll.
I thought it was all encompassing.
No.
So even
no.
I thought, okay, cool. This is going to work. The people can pay their rent for their businesses and they can pay their employees. Problem solved. But now that you say this loans are really designed to just pay employees, well, it's like, well, you know,
Revenue for the rest coming from? Yeah.
Right. That's right there. So this could really hurt these small businesses across America. You know, a lot of people are renting spaces and stuff like that, and that's just what it is. So what are your thoughts?
It's a mixed bag, you know. I know that we got a PPE loan. And it's allowing our bosses to pay us, but you know, that money, and here's the kicker. That money has to be used right now. Mm-hmm. It has to be used in a 2-month period. It's 75%, it has to be used by payroll. The problem is how they figured out these PPE loans. And if I get any of this wrong, Village, please comment, let us know. I'm not a financial advisor. I'm just going by what I understand about the loan. So 75% of it has to get used, and they did these loans by what did it cost you in your previous 2 months or however long to pay your employees. So say currently you only have X amount of employees on your payroll, period. So then you've got this excess money that you have to use on payroll.
Yes.
It has to be used. I know my boss said multiple times it would be great if we could keep this money until we can actually reopen the doors and then use it to pay you all during that time we're reopened to allow us to try and just trudge our way through this period here, but allow us the money that comes in then to recoup and rebuild the business that we had prior to this pandemic. It would work better for us if we were able to do it that way, but it's not. You have a 2-month period to spend it. You must spend every penny of it, of the 75% must be spent on payroll, and then the other 25% can get used for electricity, you know, products. The problem is, even I know in a small town, I can't say it's this way everywhere, but I know in like a small town like my town, our revenue is just not what it was. We're thankful, so very thankful. Support your local small town businesses and businesses. And, you know, just support your businesses, period. We're very thankful for what we're getting, but we're just not getting the revenue. And none of these businesses, places like Walmart, this has not hurt Walmart the way it's hurt McDonald's or Burger King or Denny's or the mom and pop restaurant or store down the street. The revenue's not there. It's not there in the way that it was before. People are either not wanting to eat out or they're trying to spread their money around to all the local businesses. You know, I've heard multiple times, we try and come see you at least once a week or once every couple of weeks, but we're trying to support everyone. We want everyone to succeed and we want everyone to be here on the other side.
Yeah.
And it's fully understandable, but it's tough. It's tough out there right now. It's helping the employees because we're able to get paid. We're able to keep our, you know, do what we need to do. So they haven't had to shut the doors yet for paying us. But when that runs out, and if they aren't able to spend that money, they then have to pay that back. So on top of rent and franchise loans and electric and water and gas and payroll, they now have this huge loan and they just are not going to be able to. It's probably, you know, I'm going to pessimistically say it could be a year after we're fully open before they're going to see a proper revenue again. It truly could be that long. And that's me being very, very pessimistic. But you got to, you know, when we do reopen, it's still going to be under pandemic rules. There's still going to be social distancing. People are not going to want to just go out to eat just because they don't want to sit in a restaurant where only so many people can come in and they're not getting the same sort of social interaction that they normally would have gotten, especially in small towns where that's where a lot of our diners, they want to come in and have a conversation. They want to sit next to their friends and family and have a meal or a dessert. So it's very unfortunate that something that was put out there to try and keep these businesses afloat during this time may not do that. I know more than one business locally that will not reopen at the end of this.
Businesses
that had just opened. I had a business right down the road that was a dessert place. Their grand opening was the day after the stay-at-home order was enacted. Wow. And I don't know that they're going to be open. I don't know if they're open now. And I don't know, you know, for takeout. I don't know that they'll open at all. That's somebody's dream down the tube.
It is.
And I think that's why economists are saying that we're just seeing the beginning of this. And this is why we need stimulus. And this is why we need the set and the third. Because they see this coming. I'm very talkative today.
That's okay. Hey, talk it out. This is good. So let me say this. We are looking at this. I'm looking at this personally from a grand perspective. I didn't know that these loans were only meant for one thing and one thing.
They're primarily, you can use that other 25% for other things, but primarily paycheck protection.
Right.
You paycheck can pay protection. Your employees. You can.
But what I'm trying to say is we, me coming into this, I thought this was an all-encompassing loan.
No.
It's not. And I did not know that.
So no.
I literally was praising the government. Like, yeah, man, this is great. I am loving what this administration is doing for this. Now that I know the truth, I'm like, you know, it's ugly. It's an ugly thing. It can get ugly for a lot of small businesses. There are a lot of people in these small towns, like where you live, they needed these loans. They needed it. And like you said, there are some businesses that will not reopen when this is all said and done. In particular, my dojo just closed. My instructor put it out. He said, he doesn't feel right charging people, and we don't even know when things are going to open back up. You know, paying for martial arts instruction is not cheap. You know, it's not like paying for Crunch or 24-Hour Fitness where you may pay $24-$25 a month. No, we're talking anywhere from $80 to $150 a month for some of these dojos. Right, you're paying anywhere from $80 to $150, $160. I pay as much as $160 a month to train. Right, a lot of these places, they can't say, "Hey, we're going to close the doors and then we're still going to charge you." Mm-hmm. Like a lot of, as much as we love our instructors and our homes, our second homes, if you will, it's for some people that was hard to swallow. I made the choice and I continued paying my gym dues, even though they were closing. So either way, but there are places that are not going to be able to reopen. That's what I'm trying to say with all this. So anyways, Village, it's going to be tough, man. Let's see how bad the economy gets. And I hope and pray that we all come out stronger on the other side of this, man.
Yeah. I'm going to try and put this in perspective because most people don't understand it. So when you go to your local franchisee, Denny's, for instance, let's say that we're used to making $90,000 a month. Let's just say that, okay? So instead of making $90,000 a month, maybe we're only making $20,000. What if your rent is $3,000 of that? And what if your electric's another $1,200? And then your gas is another $1,200. And your water bill's $9. Do you see the point I'm trying to make? Mm-hmm. And then your order for truck for things like takeouts and containers and meat and vegetables. An average truck, even during this pandemic, is about $3,000 per week. So guess who's not making the money? Folks, like, people are like, oh, they'll make it. Their costs, they might be breaking even, but there's no, that's not what's paying. That's not even what payrolls are high. So, yeah, that's the point that we were trying to make, is they're not making money during the pandemic. All that money is going to operating costs, and you can only run on operating costs for so long, because that's not allowing them to make a wage to live themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Not the owner.
Yeah.
So yeah,
it would be hard for them to. It would be hard for them to maintain themselves. They can pay the employees. They still got to maintain themselves.
Yeah, they have to be able to be making enough money to break even, and then beyond that to pay their own personal bills. Because gosh knows you don't want to do that. You know, that's truly living paycheck to paycheck just to keep your business open. And it's not fair and it's not good.
All right, Villa, let's move on here to this next topic here. And this is one that's near and dear to my heart, especially because I will tell anybody, I have a therapist and I absolutely love him. Great guy. Can't say his name because I don't want to overbook. Just going to keep it one.
You need your time.
He's mine. To hell with y'all, he's mine. Anyways, in all seriousness, Village, let's go ahead and share this here. Nope, I don't want to do that. Thank you very much. Basically, I want to share really the title, and I'm just kind of discuss it for a quick moment here, because I do got to get going, and even Marie has to get going. It is Mother's Day.
Yeah, it's Mother's Day. I get to do a game night with my children. I'm so excited.
Wish I could do a game night myself.
I wish I could get you at my game night. So that is.
It is. All right. So mental health advocates, no. Welcome virtual.
That care. Doesn't say, honey, that doesn't say mental
oh,
health.
Oh my God.
This is maternal health advocates.
Stop sharing. This is how you read when you're tired. That's what you do when you're tired. Village idiot,
right there.
accepting my truth. I am the village idiot. I'm the village idiot. No need. There it is. Boom. Keep it pushing. Holla at your boy. Yes, Lord. We're not.
I was wondering why you were talking about your therapist. I thought maybe you were going to akin all of these different.
Nope. All right. Moving on. Make sure I read this correctly. Yes. Okay. That's what I wanted to say. And that's what I thought it said. Okay. So now we're going to screen share with you guys. This is what happens when you read topics when you're tired. All right. China pressured the World Health Organization to delay global coronavirus warning report. This is one of those things, you know. Here's the thing. If there's any truth, if there's any validity to this, how many people lost their lives and could have been saved if somebody would have spoke up soon? That in itself should drive people insane. Eva Marie, what are your thoughts? If there's any truth to this, if there's any truth, what are your thoughts?
If there's any truth to this is where I start panicking and looking at the fact that this could lead us in some very dark places globally.
Mm-hmm.
If you've got one country that's not being forthcoming with something that essentially is simple enough to say, hey, we have this virus outbreak here that has the potential to wipe out portions of humanity.
Right.
These are the kinds of secrets that bring us to war. These are the types of secrets that prolificate hate, you know? That's this kind of secret. Like, I start looking at bigger pictures other than, you know, oh, this is really bad and so many lives could be saved. Yes, that's very true. Now that Pandora's box has been opened.
There it is. Right. This is Pandora's box.
Pandora's box. And
we know, once you crack that sucker open, it's a wrap. That's it. Village, yeah. Once you crack open
we've
that
got,
over.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, go ahead.
These are the kind of things that in the past in history have caused wars
mm-hmm.
to break out. And wars. I definitely prolificate hate. Because of course I'm never going to look at someone that has this kind of ethnic background in my country and ever prolificate hate myself, but this gives fuel to the fire of the people that do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so if there's any truth to this, this is not the best news we could get right now.
Nope. Because I can see a whole lot of violence.
Yes.
Against Chinese Americans.
I can see a whole lot of violence. I can see a lot of trade agreements that we will not have going forward. I can see a lot of countries very much barring travel between this country and other countries, because what's going to start being said is, well, if you will lie about COVID-19, what else are you not telling us?
Mm-hmm.
This is no different than what happens in marriages when one person lies to another. This start bad thing. Yes, I said that out loud, but you know, you have to be able to trust your allies and at least people you have business dealings with.
Right.
And we've had business dealings with China. And so therefore we need to be able, like, we don't need to know every single trade secret they have out there. But when it comes to health and well-being of the planet and of the human race, we need everybody to be on the same page. And of course, you never want to jump to conclusions that all of a sudden something is worse than it is.
Right.
You know, because then that just starts a global panic. But at the same time, this virus they're starting to find has been around a long time. So if you have some pretty big evidence that this was a thing when it was a thing and that you had people dying, the ethical thing to do is to alert the World Health Organization. There it is.
Yeah, and let them put the report out. Let them get the report out. There's no way. There's no way. All right, Village. Let's do this last thing because both of us kind of have to get going. Let's go ahead and check out some Village Idiots, shall we? Let's check out some Village Idiots. And Eva Marie, when the show is done, if you have a quick moment, can you post to the Village Facebook page for me? If you have a moment. If not, I'll take care of
it. What am I posting?
All the topics for today.
If I don't do it right away, I'll get it done this week.
Good enough for me.
I'll work on it.
All right.
Yes, sir. I can see that.
All right. So let's talk about this first Village Idiot here. And this is one that blew me away. All right.
Oh, we're on the idiots.
Yeah, we're on the idiots. We're on Village Idiots now, folks. We're going to screen share with you guys. Ohio lawmaker refuses to wear masks because he said it dishonors God. Yeah, yeah. So does dying stupidly. But anyways, Ohio lawmaker refuses to wear a mask because it says it dishonors God. We are all created in the image and likeness of God. That image is seen the most by our face. I will not wear a mask. State Representative Nino Vitale wrote on Facebook. An Ohio State Representative says he won't wear a mask because it dishonors God. Okay? This is the greatest nation on earth, founded on Judeo-Christian principles. One of those principles is that we are all created in the image and likeness of God. That image is seen the most by our face. I will not wear a mask, Representative Nino Vitale, a Republican, wrote on Facebook. That's the image of God right there, and I want to see it in my brothers and sisters. Some of the thoughts Vitale shared in his most recent post on the topic of campaign Facebook page Tuesday were from a previous video he had posted in a subsequent interview with Newsweek. I just don't get it. People want to wear masks, they can, but mandating it, that's a whole different story for me, Tuesday's post said. No one is stopping anybody from wearing a face mask, but quite frankly, everyone else's freedom ends up at the tip of my nose. You're not going to tell me what to do, and there's a lot of people that feel that way. I don't think he should. What in the hell does the image of God and not potentially passing on a virus have anything to do with each other, Village? You gotta do better. You gotta do better, man. That's simple, bro. Eva Marie?
Don't want to wear the mask and you feel it infringes upon your rights to wear the mask. Say it infringes upon your right to wear a mask. But for someone to say it's dishonoring God.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't dishonor God when half the country wore masks this winter that covered up their nose and their face because they were cold.
Yeah,
it didn't dishonor God when the guys went out into the forest and shot deer during deer season. It didn't dishonor God then. You don't see anyone who lives in a desert area that has to put a mask over their face. It didn't dishonor God when we were woodworking or working with toxic chemicals we can't breathe in. So why is it suddenly dishonoring God now?
Yep. Let that sink in, Village. I don't have anything on this one. I'm just, wow. Like, just...
Stop using faith. Ooh, your religious belief to...
spread your stupidity.
Spread your propaganda, no matter what that propaganda is.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's close that one out. Let's go do, and this is one that I actually found. We got to do this one, too. We got this one and one more. This one and one more, and then we'll call it a day. Because I know we both got to get moving.
Yeah, I'm waiting to hear what we're doing over here, so.
All right, here we go.
Oh, my hair is wild.
Trying to get this to kind of close out.
What?
Yep, you saw that. 5-year-old boy was pulled over in Utah on his way to California to try and buy a Lamborghini. Mm-hmm. Yep. I don't know.
Unfortunately, I see our little boys in this one at one point in their lives trying it.
I don't think I had the balls to actually go and do something like this.
I can see them thinking about it, though.
All right, here we go. State trooper was shocked to find a 5-year-old driving an SUV on a Utah freeway. A 5-year-old, village.
Oh, wow. Wow. He is all over the place.
When he pulled
at least
over,
he stopped. At least he stopped. At least he said, I see the police. Mommy and Daddy told me I should always, always.
He's 5. I mean.
He had ambitions. $3. Oh, police are talking to
me. I don't know, village.
I don't know if I can even. I can say someone needs to be watching their keys a little bit more. But somebody, in some ways, I have to think to myself, some parents are doing a really good job when their kid is that innocent at 5.
Mm-hmm. At 5.
At 5. I'll take an innocent 5-year-old any day of the week compared to some of the things.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
So this next, this is the last
little
one.
Boy. Yeah, I can see a certain little boy. Trying, at least I think we would have found him in the driver's seat trying it. I do. I think he would have tried out. No, you would have beaten him. You would have told him that's not accept. No.
Beat.
Nope. No.
Beat.
No beating the dog.
Savage.
No.
Last village idiot. Woman's insane meltdown over Hawaiians at Walmart is too ridiculous to miss. She's in Hawaii. One woman went wild with anger at a Walmart parking lot in Hilo, Hawaii, as employees tried to get her to move her car from a standstill position on May 5th. Here is a little bit of the video. You may not be
able to hear. Oh, the hair. What is with the hair?
Fuck you! Yeah. Oh, my God. If you guys can't hear this, she is losing her shit right now.
Why is she losing? That's my question. Why is she? What
okay.
happened to?
Let's read a little bit of this here.
This.
The woman, who was quickly identified on social media as a kindergartner teacher, pointed at some off camera, yelling "F you" in a high pitched wail. Village, when I post this one, or if Eva Marie posts it, let me tell you guys. So I'll post the village idiot for you guys to hear. Her LinkedIn account was still active on Thursday evening, blah, blah, blah. Doesn't show her name. Of course not. She's lead kindergarten educator at
Malama.
Her name has been hidden to deter threats against this woman. I can see that. In the video, the woman appeared to be in the middle of a parking lot aisle and refused to move. One of the officers wearing a face mask and sunglasses told the woman she had to move her car, explaining that she was in people's way. Everybody stop effing yelling at me right now because I'm not effing moving, she shouted at people who were off camera. The woman then got into her car after the police officer asked her again, or after the officer asked her again. I don't listen to you either, she yelled before driving off. You can't talk all the F you want. All of you effing Hawaiians. This white lady is effing crazy. You can talk all the F that you want, you effing mother effer. Granted, she's in Hawaii. She lives on the Hawaiian Islands, in Hilo.
And educates their kindergartners, apparently.
Yes. She's probably not going to have a job come next school year. I think she's going to have to move to, like, Nebraska.
Why? Okay, don't do that to the Nebraskans. Please don't do that to the Nebraskans.
Nebraskans.
They did nothing
like
to
corn
you.
Huskers.
They did nothing to you. You cannot be abusing.
Oh, here's the rest of the video.
Oh.
Man, it's rough out here. It's rough, y'all. There's a whole lot going on. There's a whole lot to unravel. Yeah.
Wait. Okay, you can't put up these village idiots and then let me read the next.
I knew you read it.
Teenage girl discovers a dead body while playing Pokemon. Okay.
I tried to scroll back up.
On the next episode of Welcome to the Village, we shall figure out what's going on with Pokemon Go.
Yes. God, here we go. Village. Okay, so what you don't want to do is you don't want to say F in Hawaiians, F all you mother effers, and you live on the Hawaiian Islands. You probably don't want to do that. Just putting it out there. And then you're going to educate those little effing Hawaiians.
Okay, let's not put it that way. Let's not calling.
Well, I'm just speaking.
I'm trying to speak Karen, but.
Yes, I'm speaking Karen. All right, who's your village idiot? For me, it's blatant. This lady here, she's my full village idiot.
Yeah, this kindergarten teacher.
Yeah. Agreed. All right, Village. As the saying goes, Eve Marie, thank you very much. Enjoy
thank
your
you,
Mother's
sir.
Day. Enjoy.
I'm going to do my best. I'm going to do
fun.
My best. And happy
Have
Mother's
fun.
Day to the Village. Because,
exactly,
you know,
Village.
And even if you're not a mother, even if we had this discussion either, there are those of you that take mother roles on for people. So thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Happy Mother's Day to you, too.
Yep. If you're an auntie, you're still a mom. Keep
it 100. Exactly.
You're a mom still.
Exactly.
You show that love when they need it. So there
exactly.
it is.
Exactly.
All right, Village. So, Eve Marie, do you know people get a hold of you? Do you have that on the top of your head? Or
nope. And we're going to skip right past that because that's what I want for Mother's Day this year.
Right.
Thank you.
That's your gift.
Keep on rocking.
That's right. All right. You want to get a hold of me is at Enlighten My Mind. I also handle the Village Twitter handle at W2TheVillage. You can email me at welcometothevillage@gmail.com. You also can hit us up on Instagram. Search Welcome to the Village on Instagram. Lastly, please share the Facebook page. If you have not liked the Facebook page, why not? It's such a simple thing to support us, and it's so easy. Like the Facebook page. If you don't agree with what we're saying, challenge us. Let's talk about it. I'm all for healthy debates. So is Eve Marie, and so is Chance. All right, Village. As the saying goes, we love you. We thank you. God bless you. Have a great day. Bye, everybody.
Have a great day, folks.
Happy Mother's Day, folks.